This morning I want to talk about standing tall in your place. Now, I'm not talking about in a tornado or a hurricane, but have you ever seen just a strong storm and the wind is blowing like crazy and big old tree is there? It's swaying and shaking, but it stands firm. I mean, you can see it moving, but it doesn't move. It doesn't go down. This is how we ought to be in the body of Christ. No matter what happens around us, we must determine to stand tall in our place or our position and let nothing move us. You know, if you're going to be successful in the natural or in the body of Christ, you've got to determine not to be moved out of your place by anything. Now, you know, we go back a few years, but when I was a teenager and we, you know, junior, senior in high school, we would cruise up and down the street on Saturday night, you know, out over here to Lindy's number one and down around the square and back out to Lindy's number two and back around. Any of y'all guys old enough to do that? I don't think they do that anymore, but we used to do that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And, you know, and we had no particular place to go. We just cruising around, hollering at our buddies and so forth. Sometimes it'd be a bunch of us in the car. And, you know, and we always stopped at Lindy's number one or number two. And it's a hamburger place like Sonic. But we had car hops back in those days. And they were all girls, too. And they came out and took your order. And they brought it back to you on a tray. You roll your window down and they'd hook it on and set it on the side of your car. Anybody remember that? You know, and, for the guys, it wasn't about the food. It wasn't about going anywhere particularly. It was about the girls. Come on now. Let's be smart. Today, some Christians are like that. They're just cruising around from church to church. Never going anywhere in particularly. And these are the type of people that particularly never accomplished much in the kingdom of God, never ever received much in the kingdom of God. They don't stay in one place long enough for God to bless them. Now, some people say, well, why are people always moving around? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I don't know all of them, but I got a few of them. Some of them don't know any better. Some of them, people get offended because somebody got their seat in church and so they had set somewhere else. So I'm going to leave, go somewhere else, you know. Some people got stars in their eyes. They're chasing, illusions of grandeur. You know, they want to be on the platform and they want somebody to let them speak. And if you did, they wouldn't have nothing to say because that's not what they're called to do. But they think it is. Then there are some that just get knocked out of place because they get in conflict with somebody else. Some become victims of sheep stealers. But, we should not be involved with that stuff. Actually, that's the enemy manipulating people to get them out of place so they'll never amount to anything for God and never accomplish anything for the kingdom. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he was on Mars Hill and there in Athens, and I just had the privilege of being up there last June, I guess, or May. And he said this to them in Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now that's the New King James, New Living Translation says, "For in him we live and move and exist." And some of your own poems have said, "We are his offspring." Paul had the revelation, if we are in Christ, we are vitally connected to him by the Spirit. He declared that whatever position that Christ directed him to be, he was determined to be there. In him, he said, in him I move and live and have my being. In saying this, Paul was saying that he wasn't going to allow anything to keep him from being what God wanted him to be and doing and staying where God wanted him to stay. Now, he spoke about this determination to be in his place to the people in Ephesus in Acts 20:24. He said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, the modern English version says, "But none of these things deter me, nor do I count my life of value to myself, so that I may joyfully finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, Paul was headed toward Jerusalem, and everywhere he went, they told him that he was going to encounter trouble there. But he said, "This doesn't move me. God has told me to go there, and I'm going." He had the attitude, it didn't matter what they told him. He knew that that is the place that God told him to go to. You know, some people look at people like myself and others, and I'll use myself as an example because that way I don't use anybody else, that this is a glorious position. It is. And to have the worldwide ministry, it is. But let me tell you what, there's a lot that goes with it that's not so grand and not so glorious. You know, I've had plenty of opportunity to do something else. Everything is great whenever all the finances are coming in and people are patting you on the back and telling you, "Man, this is fantastic, blah, 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 blah," you know. But what about when there's no finances and there's nobody there patting you on the back telling you how good you are? Hey, that's a different story. But you all go there too. We all in those positions. I've heard the devil whisper to my ear many times and suggest that I do something else and go somewhere else. Hey, you can make it better. You can do it better over here. But you see, I had to choose to stand where God had placed me. I didn't want this position. I didn't ask for it. I didn't pray for it. But God gave it to me. So I'm going to stay here and do what God told me to do until he says do something else. That's what all of you need to do. If God puts you somewhere, then you stay there in the church, wherever it is, he's got you. It may not be something you like, and it may not be something you even ask for, but if God puts you there, then you need to stay there until God tells you to do something else. Because that's where the blessing is. Remember the prophet, the Lord told him to go there, and that's where he was blessed. Then he told him to go there, and that's where he's blessed. Then he told him to go there, but he stayed at each place until God told him to move. You see, everybody deals with tests and trials. Everybody doesn't really like where maybe that God has put them, but I want you to notice, if you want to get rewarded, you have to stay where God puts you. It's not always easy. Now look at Ephesians 6:13. This may not be a shouting message, but it's a message that's going to help you. I'm talking mostly in the spiritual, but it's the same principles in the natural to get blessed. Okay. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Now in Ephesians 6:13 in the New Living says, "Therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm." The basic English Bible says, "For this reason, take up all the arms of God so that you," and that's not talking about these kind of arms, it's armament, "of God so that you may be able to to be strong in the evil day, having done all to keep your place. See, you're not going to go very far in life unless you learn to stand your ground. You have to learn to stay and defend where God has got you. Maintain the ground as God has helped you to obtain. In the military, once you take ground, then it is important that you maintain that. Don't lose your grip on it. You got to, even though you got to keep going forward, you got to maintain what you've taken. See, you know, in football, it's important that every player function in their place properly and stand strong. You know, you may play a position, you play every down of the game, and you never touch the ball. But you're important. Some people think the quarterback is important, and he is. He's very important, and he's very vitally necessary. But without the other players being in their place doing what they're supposed to do, he can't do what he's supposed to do. You know? So what I want to get you excited about is that you are where God put you. You're doing what God told you to do. Therefore, will be rewarded. Be excited about doing what God told you to do. Be excited about staying and standing where God's got you. Yeah, those amens are awful weak this morning, people. You know, I have always found out that people are always excited about a new project. Are they exciting about the beginning of an assignment? But I tell you what, they don't. It may be, at the end, they may not be excited. Some people say, you know, a lot of people start well, but few finish well. Hello. Keep standing your ground until you finish. That will determine whether you get rewarded or not. Some people don't like where they've been put in the body of Christ. You know, it may be a place where nobody even hardly knows who you are. It may be a place that you think that people don't appreciate. I make it a point most of the time when I drive by those parking lot attendants out there, I make it a point to wave at them, roll my window down, and say thank you for serving. They're out there in the cold, the rain, to help us, direct us, and get there so we don't run into one another and so forth. See, it may be, and the devil will start telling you, well, nobody appreciates you. Yeah, maybe your place is behind the scenes. Nobody notices. For many years, for 6 years, I was behind the scene of my father-in-law, V.E. Tipton. He taught me all I know about pastoring. For 6 years, I was there. I worked behind the scenes. I done everything. But you know what? I did it for him. Everybody thought Brother Tipton did it. No, I did it. But, hey, I didn't say anything about it. I worked that way for my dad for 31 years. I was behind the scenes doing all. They said Brother Hagin started Rhema. All Brother Hagin ever done about starting Rhema was say we're going to do it. I did it, along with the help of my wife in later years. You see, it's not so. Sometimes you work God, but if you stay where you're at, do what God told you to do, there's rewards that come. There are many people here that actually work for Rhema Bible Church, Rhema Bible College, and they work behind the scenes. And there's many, many, many of you that work in the ministry of helps. Some people call it volunteering. I call it the ministry of helps because that's what the Word of God calls it. And it said, you may never set foot on this stage. You may never preach a message, but it's very important what you do. In order for me to be up here effectively preaching the Word of God in this pulpit, it is because a lot of people are doing their job unseen. How many of you are looking up there at that screen right now? A lot of you. Do you ever think anything about this guy over here or those two people back there? Half of you don't ever even notice them. But there wouldn't be no picture up there if they weren't running them cameras. There's right behind that screen right there, there's a room up there. It's called the control room. There's directors and different people up there doing different things, keeping the making sure all the machinery's working right and so forth and so on. You never see them. How many of you have you know, you couldn't be here at church for some reason and you watched on the internet? You sat there watching, but you never thought about camera operators and everybody that it takes. But without that, you wouldn't be watching. What am I trying to get across to you? Never lose sight of the value of your place and how important it is for you to stand in your place. You drive up to this campus and you see it's manicured really pretty, right? You don't ever think about it, but there's some people that worked hard to do that. You go in those restrooms out there and they're clean and nice. There's somebody doing it behind the scenes. What I'm trying to get across to you is never lose sight of how valuable you are to stay in your place where God has got you. You know, success causes reward to come. But it only happens when you stay where you're supposed to stay. See, the reward goes to those who obtain the victory and those who maintain the supply line. We might say it like this: the reward goes to those like myself that's in the front line, like the singers and like the so forth, the people see. But it also goes to those who are maintaining, who are helping that to happen. Now, being on the front lines in a battle is often thought of as more important. But hey, persevering and staying by the and keeping the supply line going is just as important as the guy out there fighting in the battle. Now, David, you know, in 1 Samuel 30, 22, 24, I'm going to read that part. But yeah, they had gone out and they had won some victories and so forth. But now, it says in 22, but some evil troublemakers among David's men said, they didn't go with us, talking about the people that stayed back, took care of the supplies and so forth. And so they can't have any of the plunder recovered. Give them their wives and children, tell them to be gone. In other words, the Ziklag had been all taken down and they'd run off with their wives and children. The rest of them went and got them back. But David said, no, my brothers. Don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us to defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. The truth is, we often think that somebody in the front line that everybody can see is more important and they're going to get a greater reward. No, everybody gets the reward. If you ever notice, whenever the guy gave the talents to the guys and he went away, that's a picture of Jesus going away, giving us stuff to do. And the one guy he got twice as much. One other guy one guy got five, so he turned into 10. One guy got two, he turned into 4. Now, but I want you to notice, even though one had more than the other, maybe is capable of doing more, they both got the same reward. The guy that was capable of doing more didn't get any more than the guy that wasn't capable of doing a whole lot. But I want you to say, guarding the supplies is just as important. Standing behind the scenes and working so that this church can operate is just as important as anybody on the platform. But some people got the mistaken idea that the guy on the platform is going to get more rewarded than the guy doing something else. I'm not so sure that the people that work with those kids while we're in here enjoying the service, not going to get a greater reward than we are. And how many of you appreciate all of our workers with our kids that go back there volunteering with those kids? Yes. How about our JV, our junior varsity, and our varsity leaders? You see, hey, they're there doing things with our kids whenever you're at home and they got stuff going on and doing stuff. You see, what we need to realize, everybody is important. Don't care who they are. Stay in your place. Stand in your place. It's always exciting to conquer, but it's just as exciting to take care of stuff behind the scenes. Now, here, I want you to look at this in Luke 19, 12 and 13. He said, a certain noble went into a far country to see for himself a kingdom and to return. He called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Another translation says, do business. Another translation says, trade. Another translation says, invest. In other words, they were to take their place, take care of the nobleman's goods till he returned, but they were to trade. They were to do business. They were to invest. So when the nobleman come back, he would have more than when he left. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. He went and sat out at the right hand of the Father. He left us all of these good things. We're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing to promote the kingdom of God so that when he comes back, he will come back to more than he left. See? This is a picture of the body of Christ signing all of us to occupy, to trade, to do business, invest ourselves into the kingdom so that there can be increase. When Christ returns, he expects to find each one of us in our place, standing tall, doing what God told us to do. Now, I want you to look at this. One of David's mighty men stood his ground and defended a bean patch. 2 Samuel 23, 11. Next in ranks was Shammah, son of Agi from Hamar. One time the Philistines gathered Lehi, and they attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils, and the Israelite army fled. But Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought a great victory. I want you to notice, some people might have thought, well, what in the world are you fighting for a bean patch for? But God said it was a great victory. He stood his place and brought the victory when the enemy was coming in. Where God assigns you to be, whether you believe it's important or not, it is valuable. It is important. Evidently, that bean patch was important to Israel. Hey, determined to stand in your place, doing what God told you to do. Defending the word of God, the power of God, demonstrating it. See, the place where you're called to be is more important than you realize. Too many people don't realize how important they are in the kingdom. Every one of you. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're important in the kingdom. Now look at another neighbor and tell him that it doesn't make any difference where you're at. It's important. What you do in the church is valuable. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little story. I haven't preached very long this morning, but I want to, anybody getting to what I'm trying to get you, trying to tell you? You have to do these same things in the natural if you're going to be successful. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who led D.L. Moody to Christ. Now, some of you might not, you might want to look up, if you want to go, look up D.L. Moody. He was a great, great man of God that won a lot of people to the Lord. And we know that D.L. Moody was known. But Mr. Kimball, that was his Sunday school teacher that led him to Christ, you never heard of. Yet he stood there in his place teaching those boys in Sunday school class. Hardly anyone noticed Edward Kimball. You know, I've told you this story, but I'll tell it again. Hardly anybody ever noticed Kenneth Turner and his old Ford station wagon. He worked at the Ford car plant in Dallas. It's closed now, but it used to be a big operation. He taught 9 to 13-year-old boys in a Sunday school class for year upon year. He always bought station wagon because he would take his family to church and he would go out and drive up and down the streets. And if he'd see boys out playing, he would ask them if they'd like to go to church. And if they said yes, he'd go find them. He said, well, where are your parents? And he'd go get permission to bring those boys to church. I was one of those boys in Kenneth Turner's Sunday school class. I was one of those boys that he took out on camping trips, because my dad was out traveling preaching. I'd have never went on one if it hadn't been for Kenneth Turner. And you see, at his funeral, my wife will tell you, that church was filled with young men about my age, wasn't it, hon? One by one, they passed by that casket because that man had an influence. When D.L. Moody was led to Christ by the unknown Kimball, he had no idea that millions would be destined to be won to Christ through D.L. Moody because of that. Kenneth Turner had no idea that I would ever be where I am today. I didn't either. Let's look at the rest of this story. Edward Kimball could not have possibly known the chain of events that was going to happen when he led D.L. Moody to Christ. Kimball led Moody to Christ. J. Wilbur Chapman received assurance of his salvation through personal counseling of D.L. Moody. Billy Sunday was influenced by J. Wilbur Chapman while working for him. Mordecai Ham was invited to hold an evangelistic meeting in 1934 in Charlotte, North Carolina, largely because of Billy Sunday's Layman Evangelistic Club, later called the Charlotte Businessmen's Club. Billy Graham was converted at that 1934 meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, in Mordecai Ham's meetings. Untold millions have been saved because of this chain of events. People would have said Kimball was just a Sunday school teacher. But because he stayed in his place teaching boys, look at the chain of events. If you don't know about, go check up on Billy Sunday. You'll find out who he is. And Mordecai Ham, see, and Billy Graham then was saved. And millions of people, an insignificant seemingly Sunday school teacher, but look at the chain of events. Only heaven can fully reveal the impact each one of you will make upon the world as you determine to stand in your place where you're at. Whether it's usher, whether it's singing, whether it's musician, whether it's working with the kids, whether it's traffic light, whether it's a bookstore, whether it's the lobbies where you sign up for stuff, whatever it is, it's important. It's important. Think of the millions that have been blessed by the literature that's come out of this place the books, the CDs. The people behind the scenes made that happen. My books. How many of you have read any of my books? Yeah, all of you. They all come from messages that I preach. Somebody behind the scenes edits them, puts them together, and makes a book out of it. They go all over the world. My dad's book, The Authority of the Believer, has touched more people's lives than any book that I know. Not long ago, got a report from our television broadcast, which is being recorded. What I'm doing now, my messages that I preach here go out. An individual that I had known and talked with at some of the races, he wrote into partner service and he said, I occasionally drop by and see you, but he said, tonight I watched the whole program. And you gave an invitation for those that had lost their faith to rededicate their lives. I prayed that prayer with you, and I rededicated my life. But that program was produced by a lot of people behind the scenes that nobody ever knew about. Can I encourage you to stand tall in your place where God's got you in this church and in the kingdom of God, wherever it is? Today, I have tried with everything within me to show you the value and the importance of your position in this local body and your position in the expanded body of Christ. Don't let anything happen that will get you discouraged. Sure, we all get beat up by the circumstances of life. Sure, there are times that we think, is it worth it? But when it's all said and done, it's well worth it. Because when you've never gone and never preached in another country, but because you've sent me or Craig, you've preached the gospel. And somebody of another nationality will come up to you and say, thank you. What for? Because you gave money. And I went and I preached the gospel. You are so valuable and so important to the kingdom. Every one of you are so valuable, so important to the kingdom of God. Oh, I feel the anointing. I just pray to God that I got across to you what I feel of the importance of every position, no matter what it is. It's vitally important for the salvation of men's souls, meaning mankind, everybody, all of us. Heavenly Father, I've done my best today to teach these people what you have stirred in my heart of their value and of their importance to you in the kingdom of God. May none of us ever forget our value to the kingdom. No matter how small we think it is, it's a value. May each of us stand our ground and not let the enemy push us from where we are so that we can be effective for you in the world that we live in. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning and you said, Pastor, I've been remiss on understanding my value in the kingdom. And I want to go on record today with an upraised hand, nobody looking around, not even the ushers. And I want to go on record to say, Lord, forgive me. And I will never, ever devalue my position again. Let me see your hand, wherever you're at, wherever we are. All over the room. Let me see your hands, wherever you're at. You can put them down. Heavenly Father, thank you for these honest people that realize that they sort of devalued their position. I thank you that you'd minister to them in a very special way today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not in the place that you need to be. Are you in this congregation and you know what it is to live for God? But you've, like the man that I talked about, sort of lost your faith and you need to rededicate your life. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now. Anywhere upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room right now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life to God. Anywhere, anybody, anywhere in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, if there be one person in this place that does not know you as their Heavenly Father and your Son as their Savior, I pray that you would deal with them until they stop and confess Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and that one would just stop and rededicate their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. As I was praying, the Lord said that there are those that, there are several that are watching that need to rededicate your life to God. I want you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation right now, if that's you. Reach your hand out toward your screen if that's you. God wants to meet you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that I know what it is to live for you. But I have lost my faith, and I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And you said in your word that if I would ask for forgiveness, that you were faithful and just to forgive me and take me back again and put me in that place where I'm supposed to be. I thank you now as I have asked you to come back and put me where I need to be, that you're doing, you're restoring me right now. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, there's a, on the screen, there is a place where you can contact us. And we'll give you some literature and send you some things back. Thank you for praying with us. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of what I said this morning? What I said this morning is more vitally important than you realize. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord.